Pump your fists, everyone. It is the first episode of the wrap-up of Jersey Shore Family Vacation. That's a mouthful, and we will have a lot to say. I am your head meatball, Allie Lasher, and I am joined by my partner in gym, tan, and laundry. No one would ever call him a grenade, Matt Liguori. Matt, what's going on?
Hey, we would have some meatball problems, but I just got back from court. I got the okay to be on podcast. So we're here. We're ready to go. And yeah, GTL all day, baby.
So it's funny you say that because I was pleasantly surprised throughout how willing at least Vinny and Polly were to make jokes about court. And now you're in on it, too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You're the lawyer here, so I feel like I definitely appreciate the fact that you're on this podcast to like help fill us in on like what the hell is going on, because just from like a complete outsider perspective, I can't imagine how it's so normal for them to just be talking about this while it's an ongoing court case. Like, I have no idea how any of this works, but like, I'm really excited to hear like your perspective on it.
So I am not a lawyer. Put that out there. Well, I am not a lawyer.
I feel like you're the closest thing to a lawyer for somebody who goes to law school.
Legally, I'm not a lawyer. I will not be dispensing legal advice. I'm not admitted to any bars.
Are you sure?
I am a scrub.
Oh, fine.
So we'll talk about it because I have less legal expertise, but more expertise on people on reality television shows while litigation is pending. So we can talk about that.
That's totally fair.
But first, for anyone who is jazzed about us doing a podcast, and we'll talk about it later, but everyone has you to thank because you are the person who reached out to me. When the Jersey Shore reunion happened, reached out to Rob and he was like, Nicole and I do it. I was like, fair enough. When this got announced, Matt, you reached out to me and said you want to do what you can to make a podcast on this happen. Here we are weeks later talking about Jersey Shore. So we have to hear from you. Have you been a fan since the first shift at the Shore Store at Dead Nothing Planned? What is your history with Jersey Shore?
And I want to be very clear that my goal for this podcast was not just to have a Jersey Shore podcast. It was to have one with you on it, because I wanted nobody else to talk about Jersey Shore with other than Allie Lasher. And by the way, if I start sounding a little weird, I'm still getting over a little cold. So sorry about that.
You know, nobody else would be willing to talk about Jersey Shore. So I feel like that's a convenient
I don't know if that's true.
Me.
I feel like it came in hot now that it's back. I feel like a lot of people were very excited about it.
And well,
I feel like you
could
also
all,
put
maybe.
Mike Bloom behind a microphone and get him to talk about any show that comes on television.
Fair enough.
So
all
anyway,
right, yeah.
When the show premiered, you know, when pretty much like everybody that, or not everybody, a lot of people were in high school when it came on. I was one of those people, I'm pretty sure. I think I was a freshman. You were probably a senior. I don't know. Whatever.
I like how you're acting like we didn't talk about this 2 seconds before.
I know,
we
but
got
I didn't.
On
I can't do the math in my head
what
that
were
fast. In 2009, I think I was a
Go
freshman.
Ahead.
It started slow, and then just like a fist bump, like as the song goes on, you get higher and higher, and you get more into the show and more excited. By the time like season 3 rolled around and they were back in Jersey, it was full on Jersey parties, like every Thursday night. You know, everybody got together. Even it didn't matter that it was like a school night, you know, we're in high school, who cares? Like, we were getting together at whoever's house and making all the brownies and goodies and all these things and full on Jersey parties. And it makes me really sad that that is not any longer the case, because, you know, who still talks to people from high school? But I'm just so excited it's back.
So that's funny. I was hoping that you would pull. I was trying to see this so I don't script myself, because I feel like Jersey Shore is the only time where people from New York will be like, oh, well, I live really close to Jersey, or like this hit really home for me because I know the shore or whatever. So I was like really hoping to set you up for that, because usually that's like a Jersey person's plight. Jersey Shore is maybe the only time we ever come out victorious on
well,
that.
Well, see, that's funny because the show was still going on by the time I was a senior. I spent about like a week straight when I was a senior trying to find a way to get senior prom, like the after party, to go to Seaside Heights. Like, that's all I wanted. I was trying to find a house that we could just, you know, go there after prom. And I'm, you know, I'm on Long Island, so it's not like it's like, you know, 5 minutes away. Then again, it's not like it's too far. It's just like, it didn't seem like a reasonable thing, but I don't know. I guess people were doing crazier things after prom, but that's all I wanted to do. I wanted to find a house at the Jersey Shore and go there.
So you know how you get that done is you go to high school in New Jersey, because that's where my high school's after prom was. Shout out to the Glendale Motel. I don't know if that's still in existence in Seaside. Anyway, yeah, so I am from New Jersey, as is evident from just me being a living, breathing human being. And as you are correct, I was a senior in high school, which means that in the peak, like the height of Jersey Shore was when Jersey Shore's popularity is when I went to college in the Midwest. And every time you try introducing yourself to new people who are 18 years old with nothing else to talk about and who are pretty awkward when the Jersey Shore is on, like, hey, yeah. Oh, I'm Allie. Where are you from? Oh, from Jersey. Oh, like Jersey Shore. Every time. And people like used to resent it from my high school. And I was like, yes, exactly like that. I just got back from prom weekend at Seaside. Like, I was living in my bliss. Like, every girl I was snooky on two occasions, mm-hmm. in two very different contexts, but the hair was just as high. And no, it was just people can criticize Jersey Shore for sure, for insulting New Jerseyans, for insulting Italians, et cetera, et cetera. I loved it. I think part of the fun of being from New Jersey is being defensive about it and people hating on it. And Jersey Shore hit me right in that sweet spot and like launched a generation of juice heads for me to embrace. So I love Jersey Shore. It's trash. When it ended, I actually wrote, I think I've talked about this on another podcast, but I turned to Jordy Shore, which right. Who knew that would come back into my life through the challenge. And yeah, it was, I just think it was a lot of fun, really disgusting. I'm not saying that it's like promoting it, but a lot of fun. And I couldn't believe that they got this many of the cast members to come back at this level for basically not just like a reunion. And we should talk about that quickly before we get into the episode, but for like a full blown trip, clubbing, drinking, fighting, crazy journey together.
Yeah, well, they'll talk about that more when, like, you know, when the episode starts, and they talk about what they've been up to. And we know that, you know, Snooki and J-Row were doing like 17 spinoffs after the seasons ended of Jersey Shore proper. But what was Vinny doing? Vinny was trying to start a cooking show with his mom. We hadn't heard from Ronnie besides his, you know, his drama with Sammy. We had a situation was getting into his problems, and Paulie D was just DJing on his own and, you know, living his life. So I really like you say that, and I feel like I agree with you, because it's like it's always hard to get a cast of a show back together. You know, you get everybody back together on Full House, but of course, you know, the Olsen twins, the Olsen twins couldn't show up, and
Michelle Tanners,
they couldn't show up. So, you know, you have almost everybody together except for you know, one person, which is the exact same situation that we have here. But at the end of the day, I'm just excited we got what we got. And yeah, I mean, I'm really missing Sammy, even though she's maybe kind of there, but you know, it's good enough.
So that's totally fair. You're right. Like, not a lot of them had a lot going on, although it's apparent that you were not watching Famously Single, which featured both Pauly D and Ronnie on back-to-back seasons, which started Pauly's whole relationship with Aubrey O'Day, which then ended.
Right. So I watched her on one of the couple shows that like Tyson and Rachel were on. I don't know if it was the same season, but she was on one of those.
Yeah. So anyway, I digress. That does not disprove your point that they didn't have a lot going on. They just were on television. But yeah, it's more that they were able to, at least in the first two episodes, recapture a lot of the joy of Jersey Shore, and at least in my opinion, without like beating you over the head with it or forcing it.
Yeah, no, 100%. It felt literally just like a regular Jersey that we were back, and it was nice for this first episode that we were just catching up with them a little bit and still getting into, you know, some of the usual antics that they get into. But it was nice. It felt like a nice transition back into, all right, here's the crew again. They're going back out for a little reunion, especially if you compare it to the whatever they tried to do over the summer when they had like that road trip and they were sitting in the car talking to each other and reminiscing about past memories. Like, I have no idea what that was. I think Rob tried. Did he? I don't know if he covered it. I think he did a podcast or maybe something about it. But I just remember it was like completely useless. And maybe it was just them testing the waters to see if this would work out. But what they're going for here seems like a much better product.
So, yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that's a good instinct that it was just sort of like, let's see, like, minimally viable product. Let's see if we can get them together for almost no cost for an hour and see how many people tune in. I think another thing that was wrong is that apparently, like, nowhere in Jersey will let them back. I mean, that was part of the story. But yeah. Jenkinson's, where they were, is, like, very family. Like, the aquarium is there. So they weren't in a spot like Miami. And I think a lot more is expected of them party-wise, debauchery-wise, when they go to somewhere like Miami as opposed to a daytime trip to Jenks, as they called it. But that was my exact reaction when I started watching this. Is like, this is what the reunion was missing, that we all wanted, we didn't get, was like real deep Jersey Shore, whether it's in Jersey or not, because you can't, as someone tried to say at some point, like, you can't take the Jersey out of the girl. You could take the girls out of Jersey, but they're still going to Jersey. Let's get into this episode. So as you said, we get updates on kind of what everyone is doing. Snooki and I must be the same, because the second I saw Ronnie, I was like, can we talk about Ron's highlights? What the hell is happening with that?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, like, I had noticed, obviously, like, you notice with all of the women that a lot of them look a little different. And that's, like, totally fine. Like, I think they all look great. You know, somewhat unrecognizable in certain ways. If you haven't been following them over the years, like, you could probably look at Jenny or Snooki and be like, that's a very different person. But then I'm looking at the guys and I'm like, all right, so they all look pretty much the same. Maybe Paulie or Mike got like a few, you know, pullbacks in their face. But then, yeah, I saw Ronnie's hair and I was like, all right, I guess you got to switch something up.
What is a pullback in your face?
What's, you know,
like a facelift?
Yeah, that. Like, you can't see me right now, but I'm like literally making like the motion of like pulling back. Pretend I didn't say that.
No, I see. I'm not like trying to criticize you. I knew what you meant. Like, I just wasn't sure if that was a real term because it was perfect it. Like, I don't know how to describe the work the men have had done, but I think that was perfect. And I really wanted to know, like, oh my God, is that what they've actually had done?
No, it's not. And then, like, it's the same thing that I think people accuse, like, Mark McGrath of having done. And even though he just got off Celebrity Big Brother and was like, no, I've never had any work done, their faces just look tighter.
Yeah, I just, men age better, right?
But I so appreciate that you picked that out, because I knew that I couldn't get away with it.
So let's quick updates for anyone who wasn't watching Snooki and JWoww. As you mentioned, their spinoff, like, Snooki married Gianni, had her tan babies that she wanted, Lorenzo and Giovanna. So Lorenzo got so big. Like, I've not seen Lorenzo in a while. Yeah, I died.
I caught Snooki this morning. She was on Live with Kelly and Ryan, and she was talking about the kids. She was saying that she still wants two more, but Lorenzo is 5 years old now, and Giovanna is 3. And I'm pretty sure the last time they were on TV with, you know, the Snooki and JWoww show was at least 3 years ago. So it's been a while since we've seen them.
And then Jenny also found love at the shore. Her and Roger are married. They also have a boy and a girl, Milani and Grayson. As we're watching this, I'm like, these big ass houses are like the houses that the Jersey Shore built.
Oh, yeah. Did you guys talk about this back when, like a few weeks ago, when Kayla from The Challenge visited Pauly D's house and she went on that Snapchat tour of like, she's like, oh, we were here at Pauly's house and we're looking for him. And she spent like 10 consecutive Snapchats, like, looking for him, because like the whole house was so huge and he was in the backyard, like on the tennis court.
And then you get to Mike the Situation's house, and it's just like an apartment in Long Branch, which is not cheap, but yeah, definitely happens when you don't pay your taxes.
Exactly. He's lucky that he's still living in a house and not behind bars.
When we see Polly's house, giant house, as you accurately described, he's got the tanning bed in there. And I'm just like, let's please imagine what Polly D is going to look like in 20 to 30 years.
He'll probably need more pullbacks on his face. And everybody, I don't know, Vinny's not that tan, so maybe he needs to get one. But yeah, I mean, I guess that's the dream, to have a tanning bed in your house, isn't it?
Polly at age 60 is either going to look like a raisin or SpongeBob SquarePants' grandma.
There's that episode of SpongeBob where he's like completely like got no like water inside of him. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
where
yeah. Like, I don't need it.
Yeah. When he's like inside Sandy's house. I don't know how we got here, but yeah, he'll look like that.
Because I'm sending you a picture right now of SpongeBob's grandma.
Oh my God.
I don't know if you have that recall, but I'm going into, and you know, the rules.
No, I think I know
here.
What you're talking about. It's like a tan sponge.
I'm chatting you right now, making excellent podcasting. There's a link for your enjoyment. Oh, it didn't link it. So it's just 1,000 letters, whatever. okay. We'll move on, but it's true.
What the heck did you just send me?
Just copy and paste that and put it into it. Or just, you know, Google.
I'll just
SpongeBob's
Google
grandma.
SpongeBob's grandma so that I can see what Pauly D is going
to
look like.
Try to make it high tech. And all right. So while you're doing that, we'll brush over Ronnie and his pregnant girlfriend. Because can I be honest? Like, I feel so bad for Ronnie's girlfriend.
I Googled Pauly D's grandma instead of SpongeBob's grandma.
Snooki showed up in the Google search.
SpongeBob. Okay, sorry. Continue.
No, I just think I feel really bad for pregnant Jen, Ronnie's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Is he like, I'm going to say he's going to be in trouble. He's certainly going to be in trouble, but I feel like more than cheating on her on the show, which is probably going to happen, like he just doesn't seem to like her or be even remotely happy they're together.
Yeah, it seemed like a very uncomfortable situation. Like, did we see her telling him on the show? I don't really remember that she's pregnant, or was that just him telling us or something? But
that
either
was
way,
him telling Polly, she's like 7 months pregnant when we go to visit her in Vegas.
Okay, yeah, and I don't know, like it just, and then later on, like, you know, we don't have to get too far into it, but then when he was talking about Sammy, it sounded like he was just like, yeah, like I'm not totally in with this situation. Like, yeah, and he was talking to Paul. He's like, yeah, like I'm going to be all in with the kid, but I don't really know. And Jen's fine with me knowing. Jen knows that there's girls at the shore and whatever happens. I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah, no, there's no possible way that the arrangement is I can do everything but touch a female. Like, you're on national television. She's 7 months pregnant, taking care of your demon seed. Like, there is just no chance that this is going to be an okay situation for Ron. But I will thank Jen for the maternity shoot where we get the picture of Ron's big ass head on her body.
That was great.
That is more scarring than the Sammy doll.
I'll agree. Yeah, I hope that could be like the picture for this podcast on the website.
Now, in contrast, I feel like Vinny's girlfriend is adorable. Not that Jen's not adorable, like their relationship is adorable.
Yeah, I follow Vinny on social media, but I feel like I haven't seen anything about him having a girlfriend. And then when I saw her, I was like, oh, she's beautiful. Like, go Vinny.
Second only in his heart to his mother.
Who's still I don't know how, but I feel like I forgot about her. I feel like I forgot like how like legendary like Vinny's mom was to the entire franchise, especially like I was just saying before how they tried to have a spinoff show and it was about Vinny cooking or something with his mom or whatever that was. So yeah, I was surprised that, you know, like maybe we'll see more as the season goes on, but I thought we would have seen more Gianni, more Roger, maybe Vinny's mom pop in, but you know, it is the first episode, so.
I was under the impression, the false impression apparently, that their families were going to be coming. Like, not their kids, but their significant others. I think it's going to happen later, but yeah. Like you're saying. But I thought family vacation meant, like, them. And I'm happy it's not, because it's just, like, a lot of people. And I don't think we would have had as much fun the first two episodes if spouses and moms and kids were there. But I thought family vacation meant family vacation, not a beach fam.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But I think they're just the roomies are back together and that's what they're going for here.
I do also love that, and like, I'm glad we addressed it later in the episode, we being Jersey Shore as a family. I'm glad they addressed it later in the episode, but this was not always this happy familia. So it is weird to see everyone like so excited as though there's no drama in the beginning building up to it. But we got the payoff in the end.
Yeah. And it really sounds like they haven't been in communication with each other as much as maybe you would think over the years. It feels like they really didn't talk all the time. Like they would probably check in for birthdays and stuff. And, you know, everybody follows each other on social media. But like if Paulie's off in Vegas DJing all the time and Snooki and JWoww both have kids at home and Dina's, you know, getting married and she's living this great life with her new husband, like they don't really like need to check in with each other every day. So I'm not surprised that they've gone so long without talking to each other as often. But I feel like since there was so much time and distance in the middle, I feel like that's why they're all gelling so much for now.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. So we talked about Mike's house. It's so funny because, like, I know exactly where that is. Like, Long Branch is the beach I go to when I'm home. So it's just like, oh, I could. I know at one point Sammy Sweetheart lived around there because, again, at the like right at the end of Jersey Shore, it was like, oh, Sammy Sweetheart just bought an apartment here. It was very expensive, like was the talk on the beach. So I guess Mike's over there, too. I loved his comparison of the paperwork in his tax evasion case to him slamming his head against the concrete wall.
Yeah, and I love that he was telling us that the paperwork all says the situation on it, like the United States versus the situation. Yes. How did he pull that off?
Oh my God, that's so bad. Like, I don't know what the deal is with that. Again, I'm not a lawyer, and when I am a lawyer, I hope not to do these kinds of filings. But yeah, that was amazing. I mean, iconic. Maybe a fan, maybe not.
Like, Snooki's been arrested before. Do you think that they took her in and, you know, her paperwork said Snooki Polizzi? Or I don't know. It's weird.
I also thought Snooki was trying purposely to get away from the Snooki moniker. Like, we don't really hear anyone call Jenny JWoww anymore. Is it just because Snooki and the situation were such iconic nicknames that they can't surmount them?
Right. I'm going to do what you do on the Challenge podcast. Jeffrey Goldstein in the patron group asked that same question. He said, so Snooki's whole arc on Celebrity Apprentice was that she didn't want people to see her as Snooki anymore, but then she does a reunion on MTV. Yeah, exactly what you just said. I don't know. I felt like she was trying to get away from that. And she was starting her she's been doing like a I don't know what I have no idea what she's selling, but she has some kind of like Snooki store or Nicole store, whatever it is online. And she sells like clothing items and jewelry and whatnot. But I feel like she has stepped away from Snooki and now she's right back into it.
So it is funny. I mean, everyone's got a price, right? And Snooki's definitely declined. And I think now she's maybe more appreciative of the Snooki brand than she was hot off the show when she was like, I don't want to be Snooki. Like, it's too much. Now she's probably like not as recognized as much. The checks aren't coming in as quickly and she's dying to be Snooki again.
Yeah. And it's, if you're going to have a Jersey Shore, you know, reunion or whatever this is, you can't just not call her Snooki. Like you can call her Nicole casually or whatever, but it's Snooki. You can't avoid it.
And it's also funny because, I just totally forgot. Oh, like, Snooki had, I don't know, a mixed reputation at best when she was on Jersey Shore. People in the general community thought she was trashy or embarrassing or a stain on the fabric of human society. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
But now, like, time heals all. And now we see these people on TV and I'm like, oh my God, I love them. I love Snooki. She's so classic. Like now, not classy, classic. I feel like now Snooki's brand has only increased in value as you get further away from remembering her meatball problems and getting punched in the face and all of the craziness that happened to her and because of her. Not the punching happened to her. Other things happened because of her. I'm going to be in trouble, but I don't know, whatever.
No, yeah, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like we've, you know, Lorenzo's 5 years old. She's had kids for 5 years now, and I can't remember anything that has come up about, like, her being a bad parent. Like, she's just been living her life with Gianni and the kids, and it seems like she's been, you know, just being normal, as much as normal can be for Snooki, and, you know, since the show ended. So I feel like if she had come up with like some kind of like, you know, if like TMZ was reporting on like Snooki and Gianni get into fight in public or whatever, then it'd be like, oh, it's still the same Snooki. But we haven't heard anything like this. So.
Right. No, definitely not. Which is good. Like, look, Jersey Shore has yielded more marriages that or successful marriages than most dating shows.
Yeah, it's what are we on? Three and then a bunch of kids. Yeah.
Do we know who Chris is when Dina's like, I married Chris? Was Chris on the show and I just don't remember?
I can't totally answer that because I follow all of them pretty much on social media for the most part. So I've seen her post with Chris for so long now, like it's all blended together and I can't remember if he was on the show. But I want to say that maybe towards like the very end of it, she was talking about him, like maybe season six.
Can you tell us anything about Chris for anyone who might not remember in your social media watch?
There's like absolutely nothing exciting about him, like not to be like mean, and like that totally came off mean, but he's just like a nice guy. Like I've never seen anything like to imply otherwise. Like they're on Instagram together and living life. Like they don't seem to have any kind of problems either. So I don't know. He seems like just a nice guy that Dina happened to find, and good for her.
So one thing Dina lets us know that her father passed away recently and really rapidly after getting sick. And we're hearing this story and it's going to come out more. And it's, you know, Ron is the only one who didn't reach out to her. And while she's talking about her father, they really have to have a I'm a Little Meatball neon pink t-shirt image behind her while she's having this conversation.
I can't believe I didn't notice that.
That's the only thing I know. I mean, I was like, oh, I feel for her. I connected with her story. This is terrible. And then just blaring in the background, I'm a little meatball.
Was it on like the confessional screen or was it like, oh, wow, that's funny. Yeah, I mean, that's it's a very sad story. I know, like I said, since I've been following her on social media, it did kind of hit her really fast and really hard. And ever since, you know, every so often she makes a little post about how much she misses her dad. So it really was a big big moment in her life. You know, she was very upset about it for a long time, totally, you know, obviously understandably. And it's kind of upsetting for me just to hear that Ronnie didn't reach out. Like, I understand that they weren't maybe close friends, but like, come on, that's not the kind of thing that you can just be like, oh, I'll talk to her later. Like, that's a big thing.
Oh, I'm going to light his ass up later, because not only was that not okay, but then like,
everything for the rest of the episode.
No, it's just like his response to it at first is just so infuriating. But let me I'll do a slower build because I'm just getting heated up.
All right.
So they all go to the Shore store and even Danny is there. I am loving this. What I mean, when it's like all of the highlights. And while this is obviously quote unquote forced, like, you know, Snooki wasn't let's all drive down to Seaside to go to the Shore store. And Danny just happens to be there. It still feels genuine. It still feels fun to watch. Like, we're going to the old stomping grounds before we fly out to Miami.
Yeah, no, if we had just went to Miami, it would have probably felt like the exact same start that the summer road trip that they just did started out like. But having like them like dip their feet back in the Seaside Heights, you know, boardwalk and go to the store and then go back to the house, which I thought was kind of cute that like Snooki was the only one who got to go into the house. I was like, you know, I feel like the show ended around like Snooki was like the main person from the show. I don't know. I thought that was kind of cute. And then she steals the duck phone and it was like a very nice way to like symbolically bring like that house with them. And the t-shirts were, you know, useless, but it was nice to have the duck phone.
Oh, I was just like, the second she was like, I don't really have to poop, I was like, duck phone, duck phone, duck phone.
Yeah, absolutely. I have duck phone slippers, which weren't actually like, they weren't actually like made to be duck phone slippers. It was like from a play that I did in high school and they were just supposed to be ducks, but it was like the peak time of Jersey Shore. And I was like, do you realize that you just got me, like, this was my director in high school. I was like, do you realize that you just got me duck phone slippers? Like, this is the best gift I've ever gotten in my life.
What was the play?
I want to say it was Pippin. Oh. So I don't totally remember what the duck had to do. Wait, no, I do. It's been so long. But yeah, so that's what I got.
All right. So at the end of the show, you'll tell us what the duck phone slippers had to do with Pippin, because I'd like to hear that.
You're going
to
make me go back to Google.
So we get the situation doing his chat with Vinny at the gym. He lives with integrity, doesn't lie, cheat. Steal, drink, or drug. And this is immediately where I was like, okay, this is Teresa back on Real Housewives of New Jersey while Joe's in prison. And before that, when their charges, their case was ongoing. it's like the reality show is used as a plea for like leniency or redemption in society. Like, look at how clean and amazing I am. Because Teresa Giudice, in her case, like they aired some clips from the real world of real world, the Real Housewives, like against her, like as a character, I don't know, whatever, assassination. I don't
know. I know what you mean.
And this just felt very much like Teresa when she was back on the Real Housewives. Like, you can't hear enough from the situation about how he's clean, how he's tempted, but he's going to avoid it. He has this little moniker he keeps doing, lie, cheat, steal, drink, or drug. I've never heard someone say, I drug or I don't drug. I don't blame him. Like, he's facing, he says, 5 to 10 years of prison if he doesn't plea and loses the case, which is obviously really seriously, really serious. And it's not grating on me enough where I'm like frustrated, but I don't, and we don't know how many episodes this season's going to be, but I don't want to hear every 10 seconds how amazing Mike is.
Yeah, and you can tell that like the entire cast is like got his back. So even if they haven't been like best friends with him since the show ended, I guess they've been keeping up with him and they've been at least following along with the situation. This is like the third time I've said that this podcast and not been actually referring to the person, the situation. They've been following along, and I feel like a lot of them, they all think that, you know, he's. Well, I guess they can't think that he's innocent, right? Like, they just think that he's a better person because of the fact that he's been cleaning himself up. Like, they don't think that he's guilt. Like, no, because he pleaded guilty to the tax evasion stuff. So that's never mind. But yeah, they feel like he is getting a second chance and he deserves a second chance. And, you know, you saw how long that hug was with JWoww.
Yeah. And I don't mean to be insensitive to say that, like, oh, I don't want to hear about it. Like, I really enjoyed both parts of the episode with Mike. I like seeing Mike clean. I like seeing him loved by his roommates. I think a lot of the fights with Mike, particularly in Italy, were really hard to watch when everyone was sort of against him and you could tell he had issues and it was just a mess. So it's great to see him clean. I loved the appreciation dinner, and we'll get to that at the end of the show. I just like hope that we develop some new storylines as we move forward and that it doesn't keep coming back to his sort of like name clearing agenda.
Yeah, I would also hope that, but I can't confidently say that I think that that would be the case, just because I feel like they've set up a few storylines, you know, so far in these first two episodes. We have you know, we have Ronnie and the you know, his pregnant girlfriend back at home, or his pregnant something back at home. We have, you know, we obviously have the Mike story. There's some Snooki stuff going on. So I feel like if Mike's storyline for the entire season is going to be that, like you said, it's just going to become a little tiring. But I don't know. I feel like that's probably what we're in for.
I do think it's amazing. And again, you have no idea how many episodes this is going to be, right?
No.
So what's incredible is that in two episodes, it was literally 2 days in the house, which makes sense because they're not going to be able to get these people to commit to the same timelines they used to be able to. But like two episodes with relatively few slow points in 2 days of actually just being there is incredible. So I'm hoping they're going to have a lot of material. We covered a lot of ground this episode, but you're right. Who knows what else the situation could really bring besides a squeaky clean PR campaign.
Yeah.
All right. So what I love and hated about Ron, I didn't love anything about Ron. I just mean, I liked that we kind of got a little bit more of the Sam story, because when Ronnie was on Famously Single, like he was dating someone who's like Khloe Kardashian's best friend. I forget her name. But they had a lot of therapy where he was like, you know, I'm still not over my ex. I'm not over what happened. I was a bad guy. Like, get a little bit more of the story with Ron talking to Pauly here. I feel like I've never really gotten full clarity on what's happened with him and Sammy.
I feel the same way. I feel like I've wanted it for a long time. I've wanted some kind of like clarity, and like, you know, this is not in any way, I guess, our business, but it also kind of is, I guess, because it's like, the, you know, they were such public figures, and it's like most celebrity, you know, air quote, couples, I mean, they're celebrities. Most couples will announce if there's some kind of breakup, and they announce, you know, maybe not reasons for it happening, but at least like we're not together anymore. I feel like we never got that from these two, especially. I mean, it makes sense because if there was like cheating going on, which Ron confirmed, it, like, of course, they're not going to want to talk about that. And Sammy's trying to move on with her new life and all this stuff. But I don't know. It just seemed like for a long time from like 2013, 14, 15, and especially like as things have been picking back up for this new series, everyone's just like, so what actually happened there? Like, does anyone know? But now that the episode aired, I feel like there's no more questions. Like, we're just going to have to take this for what it is.
Right. So they had moved in together after the show, which I don't even know if I knew that. She was giving him an ultimatum. He got cold feet. He cheated on her. Now it's over. Now he's having a child, which he said, quote, is not the most ideal situation, which I hope everyone else doesn't have to hear their parents saying that on television at one point. And then they have this awkward moment where they're both like proud that they'll always be shitty husbands and boyfriends, but never be shitty fathers, which is like really still only half the battle. But okay, gentlemen. But what becomes apparent to me later in the episode, and I say it's apparent, but I'm really just speculating, that like he had this ultimatum from Sammy to get married and have kids, and he said no and cheated and ended it. Now he's in that situation, you know, by force because he had unprotected sex and impregnated someone. And like it's almost like he regrets it in the sense that like he had clearly a girl he was in love with and just wasn't ready to do this with. And now he's doing it anyway with somebody he does not seem excited about. And that was just like hard to watch, both for his sort of girlfriend, for the baby, for Sam, for me personally. It just was a lot of feels.
Yeah, you could tell over the years that even though they fought every single episode, you know, probably every single day that they lived in the Jersey Shore houses together, they definitely cared for each other. They loved each other. You know, they seemed like they were going to be one of those couples that maybe still fought a lot, but were going to spend the rest of their lives together, just from what we saw of them, you know, on our screens. But I guess, you know, behind the scenes, it still was as bad as it seemed as it was on TV, and they couldn't make it work, which, I mean, like you said, it sounds like he's not like thrilled with the current situation that he's getting himself into here. It sounds like he still deeply cares about Sammy. And I don't know, maybe in some like a year down the line, maybe they'll get back together. I can't, you know, and well, now that she's with somebody else, you know. Probably not, but it does feel like there's a lot of unresolved situations going on there. And that's, you know, Sammy didn't come because of him, because she didn't want to see him. So that's how you knew it was bad.
Yeah, here's a lukewarm take. Ronnie and Sammy absolutely will never, ever, ever get back together. Taylor Swift wrote that song about Ronnie and Sammy.
Yeah, I think I just cling on to some hope because It was the couple everybody dreamed about being when we were in high school, right? Like, you wanted to be Ronnie and Sam.
You need to want better for our girl. Ron is a mess.
I'm kidding.
No, so what's crazy to me is, like, you spend enough time in the Midwest and you forget how people are. Paulie, with no hesitation, immediately calls Snooki to report that Ron's pregnant, or Ron's wife, girlfriend, whatever, is pregnant. Ron's Jen is pregnant.
Yeah, Ronnie was like, you're the only one who knows. And then Paulie D gets in the car and he's like, hey, Snooki, you'll never guess what's going on.
And his only concern is, do I have single Ronnie or do I not have single Ronnie?
That was also like the whole show, like, didn't seem like it felt like they were trying to get back into being the character versions of themselves after not being that for so long. And I felt like a lot of the show seemed a little awkward, like the conversations just seemed forced, and like this was one of them. It just seemed like they were like rehearsing the lines beforehand and then said them when the cameras were on. I don't know if you felt the same way or not.
See, maybe I'm just too enamored by hearing it all again and seeing it all again that I was just living for it. Like, all right, so we're gonna breeze right by the fact that the situation can't come, because who cares? Like,
yeah,
you knew he was gonna show up, or at least I did.
Yeah, and they just had to, you know, add the extra like dramatics. And like, I wonder, like, that's what I was confused about, because did that really, like, did they not know that that was happening when they knew when filming was going to start? Like, did they not have any idea that he was going to have to be there? I don't know how that works, but it just seemed like very convenient timing that, like, the day that they were supposed to leave, he got a call and he had to go and he can't come. And will he come? Will he not come? Like, I know that, like, TV shows are made to have dramatic things happen and all this stuff, but like, if it involves like legal stuff, like, how did they plan around? I don't know. It's weird.
So like any real lawyers out there can correct me. My understanding is that a situation like this usually would not happen. You would not just have like a spontaneous court date that you didn't know about a day before, like to the point where you've packed your bags and you're not sure. So who knows? I think he knew he was going to have to enter a plea on that day. But I do think it's realistic that he wouldn't have been sure until that date if the judge would let him travel or not. I don't know what the restrictions are in terms of if you I know he can't leave the country.
Yeah.
If the judge could have put some restriction on it. So that was I just like didn't believe for a second they'd have you think he's packing his bags and then be like, actually, Mike won't be here the entire season.
Yeah, no, you knew by the end of the episode he'd show up. So.
So this goes back to what you're saying about like all of the lines and things kind of seeming forced. So they go into this giant house in Miami. They finally get to Miami. I was just living because I wanted to know what Snooki's entrance line was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like rich is the new party's here. I was living for that. And it's okay that it's like, I'm sure they were like Snooki knows at this point, she's got to come in and be ridiculous and everyone's going to be over the top. But the fact that she's like, we're like rich. I'm going to use it anytime I enter any room.
Is it fair to say that I was unimpressed with the house? Because like, besides the fact that like that's probably not the best thing to say, because then I'm sounding like, please, I live in like a one floor, like nothing. But no, like it was a very nice house. But like for what they could have gotten, like they didn't seem like they were getting like the nicest location. Like there was some water in the backyard, but I don't know. It seemed a little like last minute. Well, it was last minute. We know that they did some kind of vote, I think, to pick where they were going for the vacation. And it was like a few days, like you got to vote where they went. And then I think Miami ended up winning. So they probably did just kind of like last minute have like a few places in mind and they just picked this one. But then the power went out and I was like, yeah, this place is not the best.
So that's actually a really interesting take. Yeah, when they say it's oceanfront, like it's most certainly not oceanfront. They maybe have like a bay in the back or dock. I thought the house was gorgeous, though. It was huge. Like a nice change of pace for MTV houses is that they don't have twin beds. They don't have bunk beds. Like the Jersey Shore house was like a true dump. So I just thought it's like really a giant place. They have a nice pool. Big beds, like for a reality show, for an MTV reality show, I was impressed. But I see your point that it scenery, wasn't the best.
I like nicer scenery, or like when you like have the helicopter view and you only see the house and there's like nothing else around it. Like that's what I look for.
We're in Miami, baby. It's city life.
Well, I've never been there, so maybe I shouldn't be commenting.
No, I think now that you've mentioned it, fair enough. But I was like, I was with them on living. I was living the full fantasy. All right. What was this? Oh, sorry. So, yeah, you mentioned this about the girls' new faces, but I got a little put off the amount of times that Paulie and then later Vinny make comments. While it's a funny comment that you could see the price tag hanging off of Snooki's face, I get a little old for me.
Yeah, like we knew, like we saw it. We know what they look like. And it's like, you know, I don't know. I've always felt uncomfortable about making comments about people's, like, you know, any kind of work that they get done to their face. Cause like, you know, they want to get it done, let them get it done. You know, sometimes it looks a little crazy, but like, what are you going to do? What are they going to go back and get it redone? Like, no, this is obviously the look they want. So whatever.
Don't get me started on the standards for female people. No, but the standards put on women, especially in the industry, whatever industry they're in.
I would never get you started on that.
No, it's not the time for that. So let's move swiftly on to Ron and Sam. You already mentioned that it seems like Ron's not over Sam pretty much the entire episode. But we haven't talked about is Dina, who becomes Sam's number one defender. Stephen Lean wants to know, is Dina the BFF we all need? She defends you, Sam, when people talking shit. She gets drunk and dances her face off and then proceeds to eat half a pizza before passing out.
Yes. The answer is yes.
Were you surprised that Dina was the only one? Was this, I mean, I don't know if they've been on Instagram together. Like, were you aware of how close they were?
I haven't seen them like hanging out or anything like that. I know that I'm pretty sure that Sammy was at the wedding. And I think the scenario was that Sammy was there, but Ronnie wasn't. I don't totally remember. But I remember, like, towards the end of, like, the actual seasons of Jersey Shore, that they were all hanging out and they were getting closer. I feel like there was, you know, the show brought Dina on as Snooki's best friend, and they were like, oh, Snooki has this friend that's crazy, and, you know, who's going to remember Angelina because we have Dina now? But I did see a friendship, I guess, developing over time with Dina and Sammy that seemed a little closer.
I appreciated Dina's perspective here, sticking up for Sam. Like, I get that, you know, I didn't think she was over the top. I think Ron, shocking, really overreacts here where, you know, the whole time with the doll, and we'll talk about that. But Dina is just sort of being like, oh, she's my friend, I'm not going to tolerate that. Like, let's get over the doll, get over it. She's not here. She's happy. It's fine. And Ron really can't let it go. He gets in her face. He just really can't take it. I thought Dina was really in the right here, and it wasn't overblown.
Yeah, I don't know if I can point to a time in this episode where Ron was in the right at all. Like, I definitely agree with you. Dina was standing up for her friend, which she had every right to do. And, you know, Sammy didn't want to come. She didn't want to be involved in this. But the entire episode was pretty much about Sammy, like, not being there. Like, the two plots, it was like, is Mike going to be there? And here's us talking about Sammy with the Sammy doll and, you know, why Sammy's not here and all this stuff. I was like, didn't she say that she didn't want to be involved with the show? Like, she's so much a part of this.
That's so JR Joe Reg Rye on Twitter said, not to be a downer, but am I the only one sad for Sammy? She stayed away because of how toxic the Ron situation is, but now she can't control her story.
I like that. I heard the Ron in there.
Here,
I don't want you to think that was underappreciated.
Capital R-A-H-N. Thank
Ron,
you.
Ron, stop. Yeah, she has absolutely no influence on how this story gets told. So like we're saying, it's nice to have Dina there to try to guide them in a direction of, like, not talking about it, or not at least bashing on her so much. And I don't know if there actually is going to be a season two of this. So maybe Sammy will change her mind and she'll show up to tell her side of the story one day. I doubt it. But yeah, it's nice that she has Dina in there.
I think it's working for Sammy, to Sammy's advantage. Like, if this went another way and Ron arrives and is just like, oh, you know what? I'm really disappointed that, like, I was the reason that Sam didn't come. Like, I'm with someone, she's with someone, we could have gotten past it. I wish her the best. And then they never talked about her again. Sammy loses because she didn't come. The fact that Ron is proving exactly the reason why Sammy didn't come was true, and that she wasn't overblowing it, and she wasn't, like, disrespecting them like Ron tries to make it. Like, you know, she looks so good to me by not being here and not engaging with this tomfoolery. And Ronnie looks like an idiot and is probably ruining his relationship with Jen. So I think the story being told is actually the most pro Sam story, that even if she were here, she wouldn't be able to tell it as well.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with anything that you just said. I feel like that's 100%. Like if she wasn't going to come, the fact that, you know, that she's not the one, like you said, that is looking as stupid as Ron is looking with so many different things that are going on right now on the show. She's coming out the winner in terms of that, and the fact that, like, she's not there, and people like me, I guess, are just so sad that she's not there. So the next time that she does come back into the public eye, it's going to be like, oh my God, Sammy, you're back. Like, I'm so happy. Like, Sammy's one of my favorites. Like, I did a March Madness, like, Jersey Shore thing, and I had a Sammy versus Snooki in the last round, and I put Sammy on top because I don't know if it's just because I miss her, because I know she's not going to be on this, but Sammy Sweetheart was definitely important in the entire Jersey Shore, you know, culture or whatever.
Oh yeah, you gotta leave the people wanting more. I would have loved Sam to be on the season. I just think, like, there's no better way to say I'm over someone than not taking the opportunity to get a shit ton of money and more exposure for being around them. Like, if she had an ounce of feelings left for Ron, she would have been bags packed at this place to be with him again.
Yeah, that's true. The amount of money that they must be getting for this is no joke.
What did you think of Paulie dragging the body bag in that ultimately becomes the Sam mannequin for at least the two episodes she survives?
I like how when we were at Paulie's mansion and he was bringing that huge bag downstairs, like I didn't even question it. I don't even know what I thought it was. Like I probably just thought it was like a bunch of hair products or something, but I didn't even question it once. And then he brought it in and I was like, oh, wow. Like I saw this huge bag and I didn't even think about it. I don't know. I didn't even know what to begin to think. Like who thinks like, oh, yeah, like that's probably like, you know, a body in there or something like that. Like they were freaking out about it. Snooki's reactions were priceless. And then, you know, out pops new Sammy.
Yeah, I noticed that bag too when he was bringing it down. And I was sort of like, can't Paulie afford better luggage? Like my reaction was like, why is he bringing this like plastic bag that would have like a children's parachute game in it or something? It reminded me of like something you'd bring out at the gym, like a gymboree.
Yeah.
And then it certainly wasn't, I hope, something people would bring out at a gymboree. I died at first. Like it
what
was
did the shirt say on it? I can't remember.
This
it
shirt said, like, said, I'm in a really good place.
Yeah.
Like, he's,
and all the sayings that came with it. Like, I don't know how that got made, but and I don't think I want one, but I think I would be fine like going and meeting this. Like if there was like a meet and greet for the Sammy doll, like I would go.
Be fine going and meeting it. That is the new standard for anything. No, I loved the recordings. I thought it was so funny. And Paulie pulls this off flawlessly. Like this is Paulie's sense of humor to a T. Ron, of course, is so creepy. Like if I have sex with her, it's still cheating. Oh, like you're disgusting. Yeah. So that just killed me at first. The longer it was there, the more sick of it I got. But I think for Paulie's purpose to just like shock everyone, have the good laugh. Rose Sam of like, I'm in a really good place was amazing. And Snooki's reaction, like you mentioned, when she goes, is that Angelina? It has to be one of the lines of the night.
Yeah, like, and that was another one of those lines that I feel like it was like scripted, kind of not scripted, but like she had like planned it maybe in her head. But I was like, I don't even care. Like, this is like, that was hysterical. Like, I was actually laughing out loud. And I wish it was Angelina. But the second best thing is this wonderful Snooki, not Snooki, Sammy doll.
And when Snooki is fighting it for an hour, trying to move it upstairs, that also is like just 10 minutes of physical comedy from Snooki and the Sammy doll. Thank you to the Sammy doll.
And then not to like jump too far ahead, but I don't know if we're going to like circle back to this, but you know, Dina spends like the entire episode telling us how much she loves Sammy and stuff. But wasn't Dina part of the tag team that threw her in the pool and killed her?
Well, I think that wasn't Sammy, right? That was like her continued defense of people not roasting her via the doll. Like to me, I don't think the doll to Dina represented Sam. It was like representing mocking Sam.
Yeah, you're probably right. I feel like I just didn't take it that way when I was watching it because it just felt like Snooki was like, I'm sick of this creepy doll. Like Sammy, you got to go in the pool. Like, I guess just the fact that they were calling it Sammy, I was like, oh, this is kind of weird. Like to wrap up like the episode like that for Dina. But I see what you're saying.
Let us know if Sam responds at all on Twitter. I saw she hasn't put anything on Instagram at all related to this besides, you know, an explanation a few posts ago of why she wasn't here, which is basically summed up in the doll's T-shirt. But if she says anything else, please keep us posted.
I'm in a really good place, guys.
Same. Get me that shirt.
That's my new, that's going to be my new like Twitter bio. I'm in a really good place.
I think by definition, if you are podcasting about Jersey Shore family reunion, you can't be in a really good place.
What are you trying to say?
I'm saying we're not in a good place.
All right, fine. We're in the bad place.
All right, we get the line that everyone's waiting for. At least I am. Cabs are here. I know I was worried that Ubers would take over. I'm happy to still see they have cabs.
I didn't even think about that.
They're ready to fist bump, do happy feet, beating up the beat. Vinny breaks new ground or new doors with his dance move here.
Yeah. I mean, we have a skinny Vinny on the loose now, so he's like a whole new person.
When he kicks the door down on beat, that was one of the greatest moves I've ever seen on television or on the dance floor.
I've always been a big Vinny fan, and I feel like it turned into a point back when the show was airing that like it became like so cool to be a Vinny fan, but like we should have been a Vinny fan all along. And I feel like what he brings to the show is like you never would have expected it when they first casted him. Like, but Vinny is unreplaceable.
Yeah, no, this was great. A great reminder of some fun Vinny. I love that we're able to get a night out where everyone's having fun. Everyone's like doing their thing. Nobody's cheating on anyone at this point. Like they're just having some classic Jersey Shore karma fun. Until Snooki starts some shit between Sam, between Ronnie and Dina, but things were bound to pop off either way.
Yeah, I feel like I was like, I zoned out for a second. I was like, wait, am I watching like the challenge or am I watching? Because she was just like, oh, yeah, Ronnie doesn't want to tell you stuff because you're Sammy's friend. And she's like, Ron, no, like, is that true? Like, you know, you could just like, oh, what's going on here?
Which was crazy to me in this moment that Ronnie is saying, and I think there's like a sub level of this where they're sort of like they all wanted this. And like the people who were going to come back or didn't come back were probably causing tension of like, we all have to come back to get the show to happen so that we can get money again. And like, yeah, you know, some people definitely need it more than others. So I think that's what was underlying this when he's saying like, she's not here. She's not our friend. She didn't have our back. Like when she chose to come here, that was it. Chose to not come here. But then when Ronnie says, I'm having a kid and I'm still here, my like Jen is 7 months pregnant. Like what could Sammy have going on more important than me? She probably doesn't. You should probably be home with your 7 month pregnant wife.
Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't a great way to put it at all.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I don't think everyone should do what they want. I'm happy. I'm not happy I have to see Ron, but I'm happy everyone who has lives came back. But that's not great logic. That's not going to really work.
No, let's not make it seem like let's not make it seem like anybody's a hero for coming back to film another season of Jersey Shore. Like, I made it here. I sacrificed things that I shouldn't have had to sacrifice to be here. But what is she doing? She's just sitting at home with her new boyfriend that looks just like me. Like, how dare she?
But we got a new burst of like happiness to sustain us after the Ronnie annoyance. Like, what kind of wingman are you? Are you Vinny level wingman?
If whatever like the best kind of wingman is, like you can ask people who like I'm gonna, I don't even know, like I don't want to like specifically call out people that like,
oh, you have references.
But yeah, I feel like I can generally step in a good way for that.
Are you saying you've wingman people that people listening to this podcast would know because they're in the podcast community?
I'm not saying anything like that. I don't know if any, again, I don't know.
Well, there's nobody else you could mention in your life that I would know. So
yeah, you're right. Well. So maybe I'm saying that.
So maybe you're not the best wingman. There's no expectation of confidentiality.
I guess we'll never know.
Would you hold someone's hand while they're twerking on ya boy so that they don't hurt their back? Lumbar no. Support level wingman.
No, once it gets involved with like holding on to other people and like anything that's beyond like a conversation, like count me out.
I thought that was pretty hilarious. Super awkward. One of the most awkward things I've seen.
Yeah. I mean,
so wait, people, you know this, I know this, nobody else knows this, but they're about to know this. So I have in my notes, meatball problems, the episode ends with Snooki dead on the ground, what more do you want? So what didn't happen is that the episode ended. So what originally happened, for everyone who wants a little behind the scenes treat, is Matt and I were supposed to record at 6:30. I get on, I go to look. Just to see if they've like announced a schedule at all at MTV.com. And I see that there was a second episode that aired, which inexplicably on MTV.com was categorized as two separate episodes that both had the beginning, credits at the end, and a next week on. There was absolutely no indication if you watched the first episode. So if you are a fool like I am, stop listening to the podcast now. Go watch the second episode and you can come back and we will discuss the second episode for everybody else who's staying with us.
Hashtag meatball problems.
I am living meatball problems.
I love it. I mean, I watched, you know, I had it on my DVR, so it just went for the full 2 hours for me. I didn't have that problem. But yeah, that's if you are listening to this, go back and watch the episode.
But what did you think of this like two-parter? Were you tired by this point or are you excited for the 2 hours?
Well, it wasn't a two-parter for me. It was a one-parter.
Well, two-parter in the sense that it was 2 hours.
No, I was just like excited for whatever they were going to give me. Like, at this point, it's 2018. If you're going to put Jersey Shore on my screen, I'll watch like 12 hours of new episodes if you want to give it to me. I mean, I might get a little sick of it at the end, but like right now, give me all of it.
Yeah, I was ready for more. I was actually kind of upset when it ended. So, you know, the gag of the season is that it didn't end. I ended it.
Yeah, you got like a whole bonus hour free. Like they were like, wow, like you must have enjoyed that so much. Here's a second free hour just for you.
Did you watch Kentucky Wild this season?
No, I don't know what that is.
It's not called Kentucky Wild. It's called Floribama Shore.
Yes, that's I did watch that.
Okay, so if anybody thought that Floribama Shore was coming for the crown, leave it to Snooki to go in the pool with her pants on and pee herself there.
Yeah, like Floribama Shore is filming its second season right now. And I think I heard that they canceled production as soon as that scene aired. And they were like, you know what? This is stupid. Let's just stop. Like Snooki's back and she's showing up, whatever we were going to do.
I just like loved this moment. I mean, it's disgusting. It was vile, whatever. The fact that she's going into the bathroom, Dina screaming, do it, baby, as though she needs encouragement.
And they're moms now. Like it's just like when you think about all the factors, like her kids are probably like 5 years away from like sneaking into their room to like watch the show that mom's on and then like finding out that this is what's going on.
And then four pizzas walk in. So as though that wasn't enough of a dream to hear Dina chant Nicole on. Pizzas arrive just in time for the last night of Passover. I was really feeling a pizza craving, so I just got hit in the face with I don't know. I'm not going to call it anti-Semitism. I was just like,
did you think that it was like a did you think it was a product placement at first? Because that's what I thought when I saw like the visible name of like the logo on it. And I was like, why are we just maybe Big Brother Canada has completely like ruined my headspace right now, because like they have so many product placements going on for like Wendy's and all this stuff. So the second I saw like the pizzas being delivered, I was like, this is a product. Like, I don't know what they're trying to tell us about Miami pizza places.
No, the whole thing was a product placement, right? Like, I feel like that's how places like The Bachelor or Jersey Shore get cities to agree to host them. I'm sure the production company gets some sort of tax break, and then they promote every restaurant, bar, club, pizza place, dry cleaner, gym go to.
Yeah,
that was no accident.
And yeah, so I mean, the pizza came in, and then Vinny went at it the way that Vinny eats his pizza nowadays.
That was one of the most disgusting things I've seen. I'd rather watch Snooki pee in the pool again than watch Vinny like go pterodactyl on that pizza. I don't even know what that means, but like that's what it was to me.
Like it made up for it a little bit the next morning when Snooki woke up and found like an entire pizza, and then she like went to proceed to eat the cold pizza, because I was like, okay, that's relatable, that's understandable. You know, waking up in the morning and finding cold pizza outside, like, well, maybe not outside, and then just going for it, that's fine. But yeah, I don't know what the hell Vinny was doing.
It's his no carb lifestyle. But at this point where you're drunk enough, or you've been drinking enough to kick down a door to the beat, you've already consumed enough carbs where don't worry about it. Just eat a couple crusts.
It's pizza. Like, I feel like every diet on earth consists of like eat healthy, but also eat pizza. Like, you're allowed to also eat pizza whenever you want. Is that not the case?
Say that one more time, because you're literally saying pizza and I'm just drooling here as somebody who's only eaten matzah for 8 days.
I said you should be. I feel like every diet like on earth, like you're allowed to just eat pizza plus your diet. Like, you have to eat healthy and exercise and all this stuff. But like, you can just eat pizza. Like, I don't know. Like, that's just something that I would imagine I would want out of a diet.
Say that one more time. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
Fully drooling. I agree. The Lasher diet is just pizza pretty much the whole time besides 8 days of Passover. So if that's something people are into, you're welcome to try it out.
Have you ever had like a piece of matzah during the year when it's not during Passover?
Hell,
like, do you ever have leftover?
I'm not ill. It's non-Jewish people love matzah. When you have to eat matzah for 8 days, you don't touch it the rest of the year.
I don't know, because, you know, like, there's always like a few leftover, like a box or two, and it's just sitting there. Like, what, do you throw it out, or do you just wait till next year and hope it's still good? Is it still good?
It's trash.
Okay.
No, that becomes crumbs. You feed the bird. You can wallpaper your house. You can add some water and like re-caulk your tiles. I don't know. I'm not a homeowner, but you can do something. You just can't eat it anymore.
All right. Well, next time I'll send you next time I send you a care package, you know, I've done that so many times, I'll make sure to not put matzah in it.
From one serious, very legitimate conversation to another, let's talk about this Dina and Ronnie confrontation. Now, here's the first part where I'm about to pop off, because Ronnie step into Dina and Dina's like, oh, really? You want to start? Because you're the one who started shit with me. and Ronnie, who should be embarrassed and mortified to see Dina. I don't fault Ronnie for not reaching out necessarily, and we can get to that. But I think I expected him to be so embarrassed that when he like saw Dina, he'd be really awkward about it. And if Dina ever brought it up, he'd immediately apologize. And the fact that he's like, I was counting down the days so you were going to say something. Of course. Boo. That's where you fully lose me. You are a dick who deserves to be taken to task. And the fact that the first thing out of her mouth wasn't, oh, now you could talk to me, because that's what I would have said.
Were they, I don't remember, were they like, had they been drinking at this point, or was this like
the next day? No, this is the night, Ronnie, that they just finished the pizza. Yeah.
I mean, either way, it's like pretty inexcusable the way that he reacts to it. But like, I don't know, if this was me and if this was a friend of mine that I had not reached out to in like a very important moment in their life, like I would be so on edge for the entire time that like I knew I was going to see them, like the week coming up to it when I actually saw them. And I feel like that's a conversation you need to have pretty quickly. And the fact, I don't know, he did not take the correct approach to it. And not good.
So this hit really close to home to me because my dad passed away like 3 years ago now, and I'm watching this and it's like, as you're going through it, you're purposely trying not to take stock of like who's contacted you, right? Because I remember, and I shouldn't speak for everyone, but I'll speak for me. Like, I have sucked so many times when my friends have gone through troubling situations or death. People, human beings, do not know how to handle death. They don't know what to say to each other. It's awkward as hell. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to fault anyone who doesn't reach out to me. That said, you do remember who does. So I don't for a second think that Dina's like talking out of school here to be like, Ronnie didn't reach out to me. Everyone else did. But if that person doesn't feel bad about it and is then making excuses and saying it's like, he says I didn't know what to say, and that's fine. And then you should say, and I'm sorry. But then he's an asshole and he's like, well, you were Sam's best friend and you did it, and you are the reason I couldn't reach out, and Sam did this to you and Sam did this to us. You suck, bro. The apology he finally gets to at the end comes and it's fine, but it shouldn't have taken Dina telling him that this was bigger than that. Almost everything is bigger than Ron and Sam. This certainly is.
Yeah, I, again, agree with everything that you said. I feel like I am one of those people, like, it just kind of gets awkward when something like that happens, when it's like a real life circumstance. If somebody passes away, and it's especially if it's somebody that like you haven't talked to in a while, sometimes you just don't know what to say. Like, you want to say something, but you're also kind of maybe questioning, like, does this person not have like particularly like favorable feelings towards me right now? Or is it going to bother them to see my name pop up on their phone? But I feel like just my take on it is, at the end of the day, no matter what the situation is, like, you send that text, you say I'm sorry, and you know, this is real life. Like, whatever drama had happened over time, like that gets put aside. You send the message, you know send your well wishes, and you would hope that that person would do the same for you. You know, again, I agree with you. I'm glad that Dina took the approach of, you know, eventually, you know, accepting, because like she said, her dad would have said, you know, she's saying her dad would have been like, oh, you know, accept his apology and move on. Like, that's probably what anybody feels like, you know, their loved ones would say in that kind of situation. But it's just like, come on, Ronnie, like, why did it have to take this long? Why did it have to go down this way? Just, you know, we see how well he's handling other areas of his life. So I guess maybe we shouldn't be too surprised that he's handling friendships like this, but it's still not fun to watch.
Yeah. And I like, when somebody wrongs you at this time for these reasons, like, you're not looking to hold a grudge. You're looking, they hurt you because you cared about them. And if all they can muster even a year or two later is, I'm sorry I wasn't there. Like, when he says, I'm sorry I couldn't be there for you, that's enough to wash that away. You know, like, Dina won't bring that up again, because that is healing. Yeah. And, like, again, I sympathize. It's totally awkward, but you're completely right. Like, I still struggle to know what to say, and it's like hilarious. But you reach out, you say you're sorry. Every freaking other person on the cast did. And it's just like, it's really cruel. But we got through it. Ronnie's a dick, but Dina's the better person.
Yeah, I mean, that's no surprise. Dina's the better person in terms of entertainment on the show. And if you told me that she was the better person in real life, yeah, I'm on board.
Well, Snooki also was not surprised when she woke up with sweaty pants, because Was it me or was she way too quick to go from like, oh, my pants are sweaty to, oh, I must have peed in them?
She did go, yeah, but like, it's Snooki. Like, if she's back at the Jersey Shore house after like a night of drinking, like, of course she thinks that she peed her pants. Like, if I'm Snooki, that's what I'm thinking.
See, people think Snooki hasn't changed. But when I see Snooki getting up early and is the first one out cleaning up, that is a changed Snooki to me.
But then, like, she grabbed the pizza and ran right back to her bed. Like,
yeah, well, that is also true, because not only did she grab the pizza, like, she's disgusted by the ants, sees a pizza that likely also has ants on it that is completely day old, went through the night in Miami, which is not a cold place, and chows down. So, all right, fine, maybe no change.
Yeah, luckily she found the pizza that wasn't the one that Vinny was peeling, because, like, that pizza was probably still there, too, just pepperoni-less. She could have found that one.
He really got it down to the essentials. Get rid of the toppings, just the bread. That's the hangover cure, is just Vinny's picked ends of the crust.
That's the exact product placement that I'm sure the pizza place from Miami wanted on Jersey Shore.
So we get a moment. They all go out to this place called Oceans. Of course, we're going to know all the names of the bars. We have this mom's day out that gets kicked off with them crying they miss their kids. I was actually surprised that it took 2 days to get them to this point. Like, I was very impressed with these women who were, you know, treating themselves, having a good time, even though they're moms. And they're going to stumble a little bit, but I thought they've been doing a good job.
Yeah, Lorenzo and I share a common interest in a song. I really like that song, too. Thunder by Imagine Dragons. It's really good. But yeah, I didn't expect that to be what made her break down. Like, it was just like they were having this nice lunch or breakfast or whatever. And then the song starts like fading in from the background. And you're like, what the hell? Like, where did this music come from? And then Snooki starts crying. And I'm like, oh, OK. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, even though that these are, you know, they're trying to put on a show for us again, like, they are all like, just from like a complete outside perspective, I think that they all seem like good moms. Both of them seem like good moms. And, you know, Dina's probably missing her husband. They just got married like last year. So it was nice to have like a little like actual personal story incorporated into the just drinking and usual Jersey Shore antics.
Yeah. Complaining about Jenny's sunglasses and crying. That's like pretty much what's.
Do you like Jenny's sunglasses? Because I don't.
I don't, but I didn't think Snooki had a leg to stand on. I think Jenny was actually absolutely right to just say yours are the more monstrous square version of mine.
I feel like Snooki had like a long line of sunglasses over her time in like in any other season that she gets to say whatever she wants about somebody's glasses. I'll give her that pass.
Fair enough. I feel like she had the Lady Gaga like rhinestone glasses before anyone else.
Yep, because somebody in that I was friends with in high school made a pair of those glasses, and I always confuse in my head. I'm like, was that a Snooki glass set of glasses or Lady Gaga? I'm glad my worlds can combine with those two things.
So let's get Mike back integrated into the picture. They are going to meet the drunk moms at the Clevelander, which I have to say, it's the first time I feel like I've seen a bar or club on TV and actively wanted to go. Like, I Googled that place. It looked super fun to me.
I can't relate to that, but okay. I usually see like places like that. And I'm like, I'm so glad I'm sitting on my couch watching people there, not actually there.
I don't know. Like, I'm not a club person. I think it's something about the daytime outdoor seating element that made me want to go. Like, when I see, you know, I have friends who've been to Karma many times. It doesn't make me want to go. This looks like fun to me.
Yeah, like maybe like once a year, like that's the most that like it looks fun. And I would go like because like I don't drink, but like I feel like maybe like once in a blue moon, like I don't mind going to something like that. But like 9 out of 10 times, I'm good. You can go. I would totally support you going. Like, get a good Instagram or Snapchat story going. I'll watch it.
I will report back if I'm ever in Miami. But all right. So Ronnie is doing his bachelor party. And but the third time he says it and he's the only one saying it, I feel like it's a little bit like Fetch. Like, Ron, stop trying to make your bachelor party happen. Nobody cares.
That's a really good point.
And then unfortunately, Jenny entertains him and gets him this like disgusting lap dance, and not the women. Ron's lap dance back to them was disgusting.
Oh, my God. And then like Snooki's like, like, what's going on? Like, you guys encourage this. What are you freaking out about? But the guys weren't there, right? Or were any of the guys there? Or were they all? No, they were both off getting Mike from the airport.
No, because then Mike comes in and gets his coronation at the Clevelander, like as though he's been there 100 million times, probably in a less sober state, gets a fun intro. Mike, the situation in the building.
Yeah, I've never gotten that kind of introduction any place I've walked into. So that's why I guess I feel like maybe I am not in a good place like Sammy is.
Well, it's better than the introduction he gets to the house. It's like, welcome home, Mike. Ronnie's pooping with the door open in your bathroom.
Ronnie, I mean, no, situation. He always gets stuck with Ronnie as a roommate. Like during like almost every season, didn't he always get stuck like in that upstairs room with Sammy and Ronnie when they were like flipping each other's beds over and like that's they always end up rooming together. And like there was that one time where Mike and Paulie and Vinny, MVP, had that room together. And didn't they like kick him out like quickly because he was being annoying that season?
Yeah, no, it's actually shocking to me that we're phrasing it like situation gets stuck with my with Ronnie, where I feel like any other season of Jersey Shore would be like Ron got stuck with the situation.
Yeah, like they're like for the entire series, like, you know, in the later seasons, it was like nobody even wanted Mike to be there. Like they would get annoyed just by his presence. Like there was a lot of drama between Snooki and Mike, but just like the whole house was kind of like over him. And I guess that's why they like him so much now, because they do feel like he's like a completely different person or whatever. But I mean, yeah, like if Ronnie's pooping in the bathroom, like, is that, I don't know. Situation is the one who's going to, what did they say? They were going to make him sleep by himself because he didn't pay his taxes.
Yeah, that was again, another, like, I like that they're having fun with it. It could be pretty awkward. That's, you know, they're like true friends because they could laugh about it.
Yeah, I will always pay my taxes if it means that when I go out with my friends, I'm going to have to have room by myself.
So not only are they joking with Mike and welcoming him both to the house and to the club, but they are going out for a fancy dinner with delicious seltzer to celebrate Mike. And I have to tell you, I got emotional during these series of toasts, which just shows you how little I've slept this week. I was feeling it.
I get emotional like anytime that I go to like an Islanders game and like somebody drops the puck because there's always some kind of like story behind it or anything like that. So I'm with you on getting emotional over like silly things.
But what's upsetting is like everybody starts off is like, okay, Mike, we had a rocky situation, but now you're so amazing and I'm so blessed to be your friend. And Ron starts with what a good place Mike is in now, but I continue to hate you. And you are not a good person and you are not the person I met and you've become something I didn't want to be around, but I respect where you've gotten to.
Again, like this goes back to like, are they trying to like, you know, not script it, but like think about what they said beforehand very carefully so that they can get maximum drama out of like a probably normal situation otherwise. Like if they were just going to have a toast, like they had to add something in, right? Like did the producer whisper in Ronnie's ear and say like, can you make sure you say something like extra?
I mean, maybe, but I feel like at this point, like Ronnie says to Dina that he was used to not be mentally stable. I don't think Ron's like such a stable character right now. Like, I do think Ron still hates Mike. I don't blame him. Like, if they haven't repaired their relationship to like still be wary of someone, if you haven't been able to like get in with them yet. But this just really felt like a not the time moment, whether it was produced or not, it was still just like, well, Ron continues to be a D-bag. If Mike, the situation's not going to be the D-bag anymore, someone else has to do it.
Yeah, it's a very strange, it's really weird to see Mike being like the good guy in like a certain situation. Not that he's like the good guy, but like coming out like the one being like, what am I trying to say? Like, you know what I mean? Like Ronnie's the bad guy in the situation. I don't know.
Yeah, no, Mike's getting the hero edit. So where do you stand on Mike as of now? Where did you stand on Mike during Jersey Shore? Where do you stand now?
Like if you were ranking the guys, you know, back then, he had to be number four, because even if, you know, Paulie and Vinny are obviously the top two, and then the Ronnie and Sam drama, like while every season it got to be a little annoying, by the time that like the fourth episode rolled around and it was the same thing, like at least it was something. With Mike, it just always felt like the same thing, like him pissing people off, and like it wasn't even like entertaining at a certain point. It just felt like people were genuinely getting annoyed with him and he wasn't even like being funny about it. So I feel like back then I was just kind of like, I didn't want him to like not be on the show anymore, but I just wish that it was like he found a way to entertain us, I guess, while also like if he wanted to keep being a douche, whatever. But like, I don't know. It just wasn't working very well. I feel like I'm giving him a second shot this time. Like he's got You know, he's got all of his cast members' approval, saying that he's a different person now. So if he can come back to this new series and try something else, then I'm going to give him a shot.
Yeah, I mean, I was not a fan of Mike as we moved into the later seasons of Jersey Shore. I couldn't stand how like gross and manipulative he was, how much he intervened with things that were in his place, and it wasn't fun. It was just annoying and scary and suckish. I just didn't like him at all, but he has done some really hard work. He's 2 years off of drugging and alcoholing.
And I'm
happy for Mike. I'm happy that he's gotten so much closer with all the roommates since Ronnie again. And it was like really hard to watch when he was sort of the total outcast of the show. Like, it's one thing to have somebody who's not like amazingly well liked, like Ron right now, that maybe the audience doesn't like. But I think it's hard when the cast hates you. That kind of like shunning, I didn't love watching. So I'm back on board with Mike. He's not trumping Paulie and Vinny, like you said, but I'm here for the situation redemption story.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they put their hands in for, you know, an MVP reunion. So if like I said, if the cast is all on board with having him there, and if he's going to stay on the show for more than like, you know, two episodes without getting called back to go to court again, then like I'm fine with it.
So to finish off the episode, we have Dina and Snooki who drowned Sammy, as we talked about. And the episode ends with Snooki losing her wedding ring. We're obviously going to tune in next week, but are you dying to find out what happens to Snooki's wedding ring?
I'm like on the edge of my seat. Like I can't do anything else between now and next Thursday night before I find out. Like people like get up in arms about like having to find out like who the winner of the challenge is based on like not finding out at the end of like the finale episode. But like, have they seen this episode of Jersey Shore where we don't know if Snooki found her wedding ring or not? Like she's on the phone with her dad. I need to come home. I lost my rings. Like within minutes, she was freaking out about it. And I felt that. I felt how devastated she was.
Mike had me rolling when he's like, karma's not just a club.
Yeah, he's not wrong. He's not wrong at all.
Yeah, so nobody cares about this wedding ring. Snooki's definitely probably got paid enough for this episode to buy a bigger one than she had. No, I feel bad for her. She's obviously gonna find it. I was like, go check your room. You clearly just weren't wearing it.
Or like, just continue like my theories from like this entire episode, and like a producer put it in their pocket just so they could get a cliffhanger for the end of it.
And then it's gonna like resurface on Sammy Doll's finger.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, it's probably on the doll in the pool, and she's going to have to go swim and get it out.
So before we clock out for today, let's take one more question from Stephen Lean, who says, please rank the roommates. It's turning out to be much harder than I thought.
Well, like I said, I did a bracket for this, so I already kind of revealed that I have Sammy on top. But she's not there, so I guess I'll go with who I had second. I had Snooki on top, and then... like, I don't want to go all the way down my list without you telling me something from your side.
No, go ahead. You could go all the way down.
Well, I don't even remember what I said exactly, but I know the bottom is tentative. Well, before I went into the episode, I guess I had a situation on the bottom. But now that, you know, we've seen an episode of new Ronnie or same Ronnie, got to have him on the bottom. Maybe Mike a step above him. I really liked what we saw from Dina and JWoww. So I don't know, like the two girls and then the two guys are probably like somewhere in the middle over there. I'm still going to keep Snooki on top until she gives me a reason not to. And then I don't know. I'm excited to see where Angelina falls into this whenever she pops in.
So I had Snooki on top. I did rankings based on these two episodes alone. But I'm sure I'm bringing in some of my old Jersey Shore baggage. I did not leave that at home. I have Snooki first, Paulie a close second, Dina third, then domesticated Dina fourth. And we have Jenny, Vinny, Mike, and Ron. And I feel like Ron is way, way, way down. Mike is probably more than two rungs below Vinny, and then everybody else is kind of close near the top. It's a good cast. I mean, I think that's why Jersey Shore had so much success.
Yeah, I mean, this show, you see what happens with Floribama Shore. Like, they had a decent concept. For the most part, I felt like some of that cast was just, like, not what they were looking for, but they're going back for season two. So what do I know? But this entire cast, like, even if, you know, Ronnie's going to be Ronnie for these few weeks, and even though Angelina quit twice on them and, you know, they're still bringing her back, however they're bringing her back in this season. I feel like they hit home runs with pretty much everybody.
Yeah, agreed. I'm looking forward to the rest of this season. So how this is going to work, I don't know. We're going to see the reception to this. Are you guys listening? Are you not? Let us know if you like the show. We are definitely going to do a finale wrap up. We might do some fun stuff in the middle. We're going to hope to have Rob on. This won't be a weekly podcast. I am actually retiring from the challenge for this rest of the season. I have to grind for finals for a couple of weeks, but we will be back. We will be talking about Jersey Shore. We will be watching the episodes in the mansion with the lights out. And when the lights get turned back on, we'll be ready and raring to go.
Oh, that was good.
In the meantime, you can subscribe. Don't be fooled by the link. It's robisawebsite.com/challenge iTunes to get everything we cover from MTV, including Jersey Shore. And that's the best way to know when new episodes are out. While you're there, you can feel free to leave us a 5-star review. Let us know you're watching and reviewing because of the Jersey Shore podcast. We love to see that. Also, while you're there, while you're subscribing, why not check out the reunion podcast for the challenge that's going to drop not next week. Brian has decided very reasonably to do one big action-packed podcast for both episodes of the challenge. So look out for that. I believe Rourke will be subbing for me. So that'll be a lot of fun. And I think that is all the plugs I have for the podcast. You can follow me at Lash Tweets. I will probably be tweeting more because I'll be procrastinating. And Matt, where can they check you out?
On Twitter at Matt Liguori. If you're following any of the Big Brother Canada stuff, still, you know, popping in on the live feed updates in the morning, doing my power rankings on robisawebsite.com for Survivor and Big Brother. Some fun guests coming up this week. I have Josh Wigler doing the Survivor ones. I have Willow from Big Brother Canada 3 doing the Big Brother Canada power rankings. So yeah, all that fun stuff is going on for me.
You're the Mike Bloom of power rankings. You're everywhere. All right. This was a lot of fun. Thanks for making this happen. I look forward to checking in with you about our favorite juice head soon.
I can't wait.
Bye.
And I really hope Snooki finds her wedding ring.
I am terrible at ending podcasts, if you can't tell. All right.
It happens.
Bye, everyone.